Hello and welcome to the Children of Mary podcast, where we do the best we can to give Mary a podcast. Live in studio today, we have Claire.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for being here, young woman.
Of course.
And of course, we have my friend Keenan. Oh, what happened to Keenan?
Oh.
This is not Keenan. I'm just kidding. This is a very special episode of the Children of Mary podcast. Keenan cannot be here. I hope he's watching this. He's at work. We miss him. We wish he was here. But we're very happy to have in studio with us Patrick and Larry from the Blue Army. So Claire and I, we work at a parish full time, and we have the traveling statue of Our Lady of Fatima here. These guys, they spend all of their time promoting the Virgin Mary. They travel all over the United States, all over the world, promoting the Virgin Mary. They are literally slaves of the Immaculata. They're going left and right. They're giving their whole lives to Mary. So we've got to get these men on the show. So Patrick, welcome on the show. Larry, welcome on the show. Before we start talking with them, because I've got a lot of questions to ask them, we're going to go ahead and consecrate this program to the Virgin Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Virgin, we offer all to you. We ask that you give us a sense of your presence in this room. Give all of our viewers, our listeners, a sense of your presence. You are the mediatrix of all grace. At every moment, you're watching over us. You're interceding for us. Please intercede for us with your spouse, the Holy Spirit. Please protect us from the wickedness and snares of the devil. We offer all to you. May you speak through us. May you help us to hear well. We give all to you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Claire really wants to hear about the traveling statue of Our Lady of Fatima. She's heard a lot of things. The first thing she said, Gabe, they've got to talk about the statue. But I think it's important that first that we hear a general overview of the apparition of Fatima, because in my opinion, this is probably the number one apparition for our times. So will you gentlemen please introduce us to this apparition?
Well, first of all, thank you, Gabe and Claire, for having us in this beautiful show, Children of Mary. Mm-hmm. You can't get any better name than that. I'm Patrick and Larry here. We thank you. And of course, we are with the World Apostolate of Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army. And our work, our mission is to spread the message of Fatima that people may learn it, live it, and share it. So that's our tagline right there.
I love it. Beautiful tagline. And how long, just briefly, how long have you two been working on this apostolate?
I've been with the traveling statue, the International Pilgrim Virgin Statue, since 2003.
Wonderful.
And
wonderful.
Ever since, it's been going on around the world.
Awesome.
And yeah, Larry, since 2006.
Since yes. 2006, yes. Awesome.
The statue has always had a traveling custodian.
Yes.
Since 1947.
Wow.
The moment she was blessed and commissioned, according to Lucia's description of the lady dressed in white, she has traveled the world
wow.
ever since and incredible. Never stopped till 2020.
So who is this lady? What is her message? What happened? What is this apparition for people who don't know, aren't familiar?
Well, the apparition, according to the children who saw her from May 13 to October 13, she appeared to them on every 13th day of each month at around noontime. The shepherd children, as the name, they would put out the sheep into the field in the morning and have lunch and pray the rosary. And suddenly on May 13, lightning or something, and up on the small home oak tree appeared this beautiful lady dressed in white. And the first question they asked is, where are you from? Because she's such a beautiful lady. And she said, I am from heaven. And, that's the beginning of the story of Fatima. And it's a series of apparitions. Like I said, from May to October, she said, come back here at the same time on the 13th day. And I have something to tell you, very important to tell you.
And one of the things that stood out to me is that third apparition is a very important one. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened in the third apparition, the vision that the children were given?
Sure. July 13th. Cardinal Ratzinger, while he was still the prefect for the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, he said that in a commentary on the third secret, which was given on that day, that Fatima is undoubtedly the most prophetic of all modern day apparitions. And, you know, referring not just to the third secret, but to the primarily to that message that was given on July 13th, which, you know, really the third secret is actually the third part of a longer secret.
Yes.
Again, you know, first, Our Lady showed the children a vision of hell.
Wow.
And very shocking for them, and followed by what was going to develop in the world if people do not respond to this message. Bible, wars and rumors of wars. Well, war was going to come if people do not respond. They were in the midst of World War One. You know, this war will end, but if people do not reform their lives, a second, more devastating war will come. And we know in hindsight,
it did
exactly that. And then she warned about Russia. Russia would spread errors throughout the world that would cause wars, persecutions of the church. The good would be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. All of this that we've saw happen over the past 100 years plus was prophesied. In fact, just very shortly after the very last apparition is when the Russian Revolution happened, what we call the Bolshevik Revolution, where communists basically took over a very Christian country, an entire empire.
Incredible.
Yeah. If you think about it, you know, you would hear, oh, Fatima is a scary message. You know, war, famine, persecutions of the church, vision of hell. You know, these are 7 and 9 and 10 years old. You know, Jacinta, Francisco, and their cousin Lucia, and showing, you know, opening up the earth and looking, you know, to save them. God wishes to establish in the world devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And if you look about, wow, that's a scary vision for not, you know, for even me, for a 44-year-old guy, that would be really scary. But if you look, if apart from history and apart from the faith, that would be really scary. But the message of Fatima when she came, it's a message of peace. It's a message of hope. You know, that's why they call it the peace plan from heaven. These things are going on, but if you do what I ask you to do, you know, God's commandments, there will be peace. You know, an era of peace will be granted to mankind. But if not, you know, if you don't repent, amend your lives, then these things that we're talking about are surely going to happen. It's a, you know, Our Lady, they call it the early warning device. You know,
yes.
Before a tsunami hits, before a war begins, this is it. That's the reason why, you know, we're going to talk about the statue. But in 1947, after the Second World War, see, it happened. She predicted what's going to happen. And so the gesture of the church, we have to correct it. We have to tell the world what we need to do, the peace plan from heaven.
And when I think that's something that's often overlooked. I'm so glad you mentioned that it's a message of hope. If Our Lady's telling us that prayer and sacrifices can save souls, that means she's telling us because they'll actually save souls. Mm-hmm. So if there's family members who we have who are outside of the church or they're in mortal sin and they're not practicing, going to confession frequently, she's saying we can save them.
Yes.
And if we don't pray and if we don't sacrifice, we won't save them.
Right.
But this is the way. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned something very important. Our Lady took a 7-year-old to hell. Sometimes in our Catholic schools, I just gave a retreat to the young kids and I talked about hell. And I said, hey, I could have taken you on a field trip. If I was Our Lady, Our Lady would have taken you on a field trip to hell to show you firsthand. Yes. And so not to scare, but to show the cause and effect.
Exactly.
This is the reality. And so at the age of reason, when most kids are making their first communion, Our Lady's saying, hey, maybe you should talk about these topics that our actions have consequences, of course, but in an age-appropriate manner. And we'll talk more about the children and the effect that these visions had on them. So what is this peace plan from heaven? Why did Our Lady come? What is the good news that she's trying to spread to us?
Well, pray the rosary first, no matter how small your rosary may be. You pray the rosary, you know, you meditate on the mysteries of the life and death and resurrection of our Lord. Sanctify our daily duties, which is not hard to do. It's already there, you know. It's take up our crosses in life. Consecrate ourselves, our hearts, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Total consecration to Mary, to her Immaculate Heart. The first Saturday devotion, which, you know, we might be talking a little bit more. It's a very important part of the message. It's almost like the forgotten message of Fatima. You pray the rosary, you sanctify your daily duties, you have the brown scapulars as a sign of your consecration, And then that's it. Oh, what about the first Saturday?
Yes.
You know, she said, I'll come back to ask you, you know, for the consecration, so which mm-hmm. we'll talk about later on.
Yes. And it's funny because parishes that do these devotions, they're living parishes. They're alive. They're thriving. And it's like if pastors and if educators, religious educators would embrace Our Lady's message, because some people will say, and you can answer this too, and I've heard it many times and I'm sure you've heard of it. They'll say, hey, that's optional. It's church approved, but it's optional. I don't have to believe that if I don't want
private
to.
Private revelation.
Tell me.
You know,
tell
public
me.
Revelation. The Lord has already revealed mm-hmm. himself fully and completely. There's no doubt about it. No, that's it. Private revelation. You're right. You know, the church cannot twist your arm. If you don't pray your rosary, that's sin. You know, that's not it.
That's not true. Yeah.
It's not true. It's not obligatory. But I think when Our Lady appeared, you know, she did not appear as a queen. She appeared like a mother. So the role of Mary, it's always been being a mother. Of course, she's our queen of heaven and earth. You know, Pope Pius XII put the crown on Our Lady of Fatima. He proclaimed her queen of the world. And ever since, Fatima statues wore a crown, you know, as a queen. She's leading us into this battle. She is right there with us. So her role, I believe, you know, in the family as a church, has always been the mother. You know, the message of Fatima, if you study it, you know, most scholars, you know, no matter how deeply, you know, highfalutin theology they would throw at you, it's always a loving, concerned, catechizing mother.
Yes.
So that's her role. If you ask me, you read Fatima, all the highly theological scholars, let's get back to the basics.
Amen.
She's a mother wanting to save her children.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, St. Therese, I believe, said that she's queen and mother, but she's more mother to us. Yeah, we feel that motherly message. Now, you mentioned that some people will say, you know, it's not obligatory, but it's funny because these things are good for us. Then people act so harsh towards them. Have you seen people in your apostolate kind of come around and say, hey, maybe I should be more devout to Mary in your experience of taking the statue around?
Here in the U.S., when we travel, we buy her a seat, you know, in the airplanes.
Aww.
We open it up and mm-hmm. turn on the overhead light. And
give her some AC.
the light on her. And, you know, I've sat with pastors and, you know, different denominations with their, you know, Bibles and everything, or no matter what denomination, they tell me, what do you have? She's my mother.
Amen.
And
I'll take her drink and her peanuts.
And the flight attendants would say, oh, could I take a photo? Or
once in
a while, the captain of the flight would make an announcement. Today's going to be a safe flight, folks. We have a very special passenger, the Mother of God, or Mary, the Mother of Jesus. So those kind of things happen, and very, very interesting.
No
and
hostility.
Like I said,
That's
you
awesome.
Know, we go through TSA, we go through all kinds of things through the airport or whatever.
And they don't check your bags for your weapon? Your spiritual weapon?
Yeah. Well, they take the statue under the x-ray.
Exactly,
so
that's awesome.
It's very interesting. And they would be like, oh, look at that. It's a teaching moment.
Yes.
It's evangelizing when you, even if you're your own quiet seat, you have Our Lady there, her presence is felt.
Yes.
It's amazing. I don't know how to describe it in words. It's just, you know, she... through the statue, her pilgrim virgin tries to hug and embrace her children.
Yes.
No matter. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic or you're praying the rosary, but she wanted you to.
Yes.
You know, like you said, it's not obligatory, but if I speak to a lot of people, I'd say, how could you refuse the Mother of God? Jesus listened to her.
That's
well, how
right.
could we
and to obey our mother makes us more like Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing is she's not really calling us to anything extra. And that's what Lucia, you know, especially that very first apparition when she asked that question, are you willing to accept all the sufferings God intends to send you? Are you to offer yourself to God? Lucia, you know, later just called this our baptismal duty.
Yes.
This is something everybody's called to do,
yes.
to offer yourself, just like Jesus offered himself on the cross for our salvation. That's the gospel message, that we can carry on that mission by simply doing the same out of trust.
Yes.
We completely trust in that this is the way for us. Now, what seems to be extra is that devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. By this devotion, she's going to obtain for us the grace to be able to do that, because it's beyond our human nature to
yes.
be able to offer ourselves. So she's going to obtain for us the graces that we need to be able to follow that difficult path.
Yes.
And so that's why we pray the rosary every day, wear the brown scapular. It's as a sign of our consecration to her.
Yes.
She's going to help us. Could I possibly be a martyr? We don't know. But I know I can depend upon her to obtain for me the graces I need to get through the next day.
Yeah. If I was Lucia, because it's funny that they asked her, are you willing to accept the sufferings that God will send you?
Right.
I always will say, do I have a choice? No, you don't have a choice. You're going to suffer anyways.
Yes. Yes.
You're gonna have pain in your life anyways. Yes. Why not just say, okay, Lord, I give it to you. It's only to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lady makes everything so much sweeter. You were saying that all the graces that come from bringing the statue around. I was thinking last night, we had a procession around the church. And when you walk, we walked around the corner, and I'll have Claire put a clip of it. I've got a video of it. And then there's a baseball field, and all the people were coming off the baseball field, and you could just see them stop, and their eyes got big. And I
yes,
remember looking at the
yes.
eyes of a woman, and her eyes got big, and she saw the Virgin Mary. And then one of them ran off around the side and wanted to get in the procession along with us.
Yeah.
Because she's calling all people. These are her spiritual children.
Yes.
So you mentioned the Immaculate Heart, that she was going to give graces through the Immaculate Heart. Could you give us a quick summary of what is the Immaculate Heart? What is the meaning of the Immaculate Heart?
Yeah, I like to refer to St. Luke's Gospel because in St. Luke actually says, as you know, she's raising her child, our Lord, she's watching the events happen and the things that are being said. St. Luke, on more than one occasion, says in the Gospel that she treasured all of these things and pondered them. Where? In her heart.
Yes.
You know, and the catechism says that the heart is the center of the person. It's,
yes.
It's where everything, you know, our will, our emotions, our willingness or unwillingness takes place. And so her heart is immaculate, which means that she always does the will of God. It's full of grace, and she's going to do everything she can to obtain for us the graces that we need to be able to do that.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That's the best explanation of the Immaculate Heart I've ever heard in a while. That's very beautiful, Larry. Thank you for that. Yes.
And so how can we keep those? Because you mentioned that there's a first Saturday devotion that's not being lived out. And it's so true. So few churches have the first Saturday. It's actually, to me, it's a miracle that people even do it. Because I never hear about it talked about, and most churches, they don't promote it. So to me, it's a miracle of God's grace that there's even doing it some places. Can you please explain, what is the first Saturday? How can we do it? What are the expectations, and what are the rewards?
It's actually pretty simple, you know, if we observe it. And there's, the guidelines are lax, you know, if you can't do it on the first Saturday, oh, of course, we wanted to do it.
Yes.
But there's, Lucia even asked our Lord, you know, Our Lady, says, oh, well, if they can't do it, you know, they have like a week before or after, you know, if it's not available, you know, to do the first Saturday, you know, going to
the
confession.
The first 2 weeks devotion.
The first 2 weeks. But of course, we wanted to.
Of course, you know, we should do it.
On site.
My experience is when you give me too much rope, too much lenience, I hang myself
exactly.
with the rope.
Exactly. Yes.
I never actually do it. So first Saturday, folks, no excuses, but please keep telling us.
First Saturday devotions, you know, like, you know, go to confession. It's readily available in your parish.
Go to confession.
You know? Pray the rosary with the intention of making reparation to her Immaculate Heart, which Larry explained very beautifully. You know, why Immaculate Heart? Why the reparation? Because why five first Saturdays
Please.
Too? Of course, we wanted to say, okay, first Saturday, because like you said, you give me a lot of rope, like five. Oh, one, two, three, four, five, and I'm done. You know,
yeah.
It's not five for life. Isn't it better if we do it continuously?
Right.
You know, why five? You know, there are five blasphemies against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Her perpetual virginity, against her statues, those who propagate to among the young children the hatred and animosity
yes.
toward the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'm forgetting the two more.
The teaching on the Mother of God.
Oh yeah,
and the Theotokos,
and that she is also our mother.
She's also our mother. When we meditate for at least 15 minutes. Meditating on the mysteries of the Holy Rosary, keeping her company.
I like that. Yeah,
keeping her company. it doesn't require your bishop to come on over to do a ceremony. You know, you can do it on your own.
Yes.
You know, except for the mass, you have to go. But then again, the next Sunday, you could go to the church and fulfill the obligation of Our Lady's request. Yes. These are requests. Again, where it's not obligatory.
Right.
But if we do this, like she promised at Fatima, if you do what I tell you, there will be peace. That's the pathway.
Yes.
To peace. That's the pathway, you know, to her Immaculate Heart. God has already triumphed, you know, even in the theological commentary by Cardinal Ratzinger. He said, you know, in this life, there will be tribulation, you know, but God has overcome the world. But there's also the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in our time, because we're talking about an era of peace will be granted to mankind. That's the words of Our Lady.
Now, most people will do any what. So the what is confess. The what is pray the rosary. The what is receive Holy Communion and then spend 15 minutes meditating on the life of her son with her. Why? For peace. And then there's a big promise she makes. What is that big promise?
That's a very important point. At the hour of death, you know, even the habit, the scapular habit, you know, these are all connected, you know, they're all woven together. Mm-hmm. You know, at the hour of your death, I will be there, you know, to save you. All the graces that you need.
Will
I mean, what could you ask for more with all the graces necessary for your salvation?
Yes.
I will be there.
And imagine this. So I love that. It gives me goosebumps because, wow, what a promise. Now, you said, oh, do I only have to do it five times? So I would say, why not make this? Because a lot of us have family members who are not living the faith. Mm-hmm. Let's just be realistic. Many of the adults come to me and they say, my teenagers are not living the faith. What if you offered to Our Lady every first Saturday for the rest of your life? Would Our Lady not reach out to them? If you look out for her heart, is she not looking out for your heart?
Actually, that's the meaning of reparation. Right. It's not simply, I offended you. Of course, you have your own reparation. But against the blasphemies, you're talking about not even your own family members. You know, we may be a holy family in our in our side, but you know, that's a different story. But others who we may not even know, you know, they offend Our Lady, they offend the Lord, blasphemies, you know, against a lot of things in our faith. So in order to repair.
The promises apply primarily to, you know, making the minimum, which is the five Saturdays. What our Lord says to Lucia is that Our Lady actually asked our Lord for this reparation.
Wow.
Why? Because she wants to be more effective as a mother. Before that, there was the Sacred Heart devotion where our Lord asked for reparation to the Sacred Heart image, a series of nine of them. And then this is very closely connected, you know, the two hearts, first Friday followed by first Saturday.
Yes.
You know, so what happened on Friday, Good Friday? Our Lord offered himself for our salvation. His heart was pierced with a lance.
Yes.
Our Lady was there at the foot of the cross witnessing all of this. And theologians will say, Mariologists that can really understand this, that basically the church only existed at that moment in the heart of Mary. And the rest were, they were struck dumb. They didn't know what they're going to do now.
Yes.
Only Our Lady trusted completely. And so the church existed until the resurrection in the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not only symbolic. You know, we have these, during Lent, we have the Stabat Mater, Dolorosa. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about it, you know, she stood.
Yes.
You know, at the foot of the cross. And, you know, one theologian said, you know, that's a very powerful one word.
Yes.
Stood.
Yes.
She was standing that's at the foot. You know, she wasn't, you know, kicking her feet and wailing.
Crying. Fainting or anything. Yeah.
She stood at the foot of the cross. How can you stand when you see your son pierced in the heart, you know, up there crucified? She stood. She's a very powerful, strong lady. You know, you talk about the feminists and all these movements nowadays, you know, they should have Mary as the model of, you know,
strong womanhood.
She's the queen of the disciples, the apostles. She's our role mother, our role model. So,
And the most beautiful thing that you mentioned, the Stabat Mater, it reminds me of the sword that pierced her heart, is that Our Lady wants only one thing, and that's for us to love her son with a pure and undefiled heart.
Absolutely.
But I don't have that. And that's why she wants me to meditate on the life of Jesus Christ with her, yes, so that she can give me her eyes, so she can give me her heart. It's not because she's selfish. Oh, the rosary's boring. I will punish you. You're bad children. No, she wants us only to love Jesus more. If there was a better way to love Jesus, she'd be promoting it. But mm-hmm. the best way that she found that works on the human heart the best is the rosary, is reparation using the five first Saturdays. And naturally, of course, it's going to convert the heart. It's going to convert the family.
Yeah. St. John Eudes mentioned the heart of Mary.
Yes.
He said that we may have a heart like Mary, worthy of receiving Jesus. Yes. Especially in the Eucharist.
Wow.
Can you believe that? You know, I can't receive Jesus. You know, she received Jesus,
yes,
with a worthy heart.
Yes.
So with a worthy heart like Mary, that we may have a heart like Mary.
Oh, wow. Oh, so beautiful.
St. John Eudes.
Now, speaking of hearts, now I'm always in such great awe of the hearts of the three children of Fatima. What effects did Our Lady's apparition, what effects did seeing hell and everything involved in this apparition, how did it affect those young people? They always put, I feel like I look at their life and they put me to shame and I say, wow, if they can do it, I can do it. Yes. Please tell me about the three children of Fatima and their devotional life and their spirituality.
Yeah, okay. Well, the children were absolutely transformed. Though they remained children, it became the sole meditation of their lives. Francisco and Jacinta lived very short lives. Yes. And Our Lady said that was going to happen. The second apparition, you could say there was a contrast between Francisco's devotion and Jacinta's devotion, especially in that how vision of hell affected them.
Yes.
Jacinta just could not stop praying for the salvation of souls after witnessing the vision of hell. Whereas Francisco, he also sensed the burning, and in that burning, he sensed the sadness of God.
Oh yes,
you know, and he wanted to console the heart of God. So they're the flip of the same coin.
Yes,
you know, on one side is reparation to God for offenses. The other side is for the salvation of souls.
Yes,
and so basically their devotion, the flip of that same coin.
Yeah. It's so interesting. That's what I was hoping you would hit on. It just shows there are different spiritualities.
Yes.
But they're basically using the same tool in the reparation.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It could be a charism for a religious congregation.
Yes.
You know,
and that'd be amazing.
When you ask, you know, tell me about the children of Fatima, what came to mind? Well, they're the youngest saints ever in the history of the church.
Wow.
You know, I remember they were, you know, I'm not there, of course, but they were evaluating, you know, I could see a lot of paperwork. Oh, they were too young to be saints. And how could they do it? You know, heroic virtues. Yes, they did. And they're not saints because, oh yeah, they're the seers of Our Lady of Fatima. No, it's not that title because, like Larry mentioned, their lives have been transformed. You know, they lived heroic virtues. So it's worthy of elevating to the altar. You know, they were canonized, you know, back in 2017. And of course, Lucia will be on her way.
Yes.
You know, she wrote a lot of things and the, you know, memoirs. And
and Our Lady made the promise, right? She made the promise.
Yes.
So it's like, hey, just give her sainthood now.
Yeah.
She's got a good advocate.
Yeah, you and, you know, Jacinta and Francisco will go to heaven. But it's very interesting with Francisco. Francisco, you have to pray many rosaries first.
Wow.
I mean, what could a 10-year-old boy could have done?
A 10-year-old with no games, no video games,
no
internet,
iPhones,
no iPhone.
Oh,
Mary, help us.
You got to pray the rosary every day. And when they exhumed his body, he was still clinging on to his rosary.
Wow.
So, but
I remember reading somewhere that he was kind of the, you know, they noticed his change, that he would go off by himself and he would be on a rock or something and praying. And the girls noticed, they were like, what's he doing now by himself? Because he wasn't like that at all
before.
He
became a contemplative.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Consoling our Lord, the hidden Jesus, they call him in the tabernacle.
Wow.
I'd like to console the hidden Jesus. So, you know, he would kneel down all day praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Wow. And because they didn't want to do anything anymore.
Right.
You know, because they know. You know, they saw the vision of hell. They have the words of Our Lady, the promise that they will go to heaven soon.
Yes.
So Lucia, she needed to read and write, to learn to read and write, because she had to propagate the message of Fatima. So she did, you know, and Our Lady said, you will have to stay on earth a little while longer. So that was 1917 when Our Lady promised her that. She only died in 2003.
Yeah, a little while. It's a long time.
A little while longer. She died when she was
87 years later.
She was almost 98 years old.
Yes. Wow.
A little while longer. So.
Yes, their stories are very encouraging. I want to share, before we move on to our next topic, just two quotes. I saw that you, outside, when these gentlemen brought Our Lady, they put some banners up. And I wanted to share two quotes, one from Francisco and one from Jacinta. So Francisco, on the quote on your banner, it said, "I love God and Our Lady very much. They are so sad for all the sins by which they are offended. If we can console them with our sufferings, how happy we shall be." And then Jacinta, "Tell everybody that God grants us graces through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that people are to ask her for them. Tell them also to pray to the Immaculate Heart of Mary for peace, since God has entrusted it to her." And sorry, I did get a quote from Lucia. I was about to say, sorry, Lucia, you know who my two favorite are. No offense to you. Please pray for me. I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. "Devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary must be established in the world by means of true consecration through conversion and self-giving. This Immaculate Heart must be for us a refuge and the way that leads us to God." Wow, we really have to examine ourselves. Are we really giving ourselves over to Mary? Are we really consecrating ourselves to her? Because she only wants to help us. Now, you're here to bring us the message of Fatima, but also to bring us the traveling statue. Will you please talk to us about the traveling statue?
Yes, the International Pilgrim Virgin Statue. This is what we bring, you know, the presence of Mary.
Yes.
You know, it was blessed in 1947 in front of 150,000 people, October 13, 1947. Ever since, she has traveled the world. Even the Holy Father, Pope Pius XII, mentioned the Pilgrim Virgin in his radio remarks over the Vatican radio. He said, "We crowned Our Lady of Fatima as Queen of the World in 1946, and then in 1947, the next year after we crowned her, she set forth as though to claim her dominion."
Wow.
"And the wonders she performs along the way are such that we could hardly believe what we are seeing with our own eyes." So the charisma of the Pilgrim Virgin, ever since it was commissioned and blessed to be the Pilgrim Virgin. So we're simply continuing what was started by our founder, John Hafford, in 1947, who spoke to Sister Lucia when she was still living. You know, having an American mind, I would imagine, "Oh, Lucia, you have the messages of Our Lady, all the transcripts are here, but what did she really want it to do?" You know, maybe the American mind, like, what's the bullet point? Like, in the beginning, okay, what is this?
The outline, what is it?
The outline, why? You know, rosary, sanctify our daily duties, you know, what we discussed. So, Lucia, discerning her vocation, she knew she had to propagate the message of Fatima.
Yes.
But she also knew she wanted to discern her vocation in the cloister, to be a Carmelite. But when she and John Hafford spoke, like, John Hafford took on Our Lady's Blue Army, the World Apostolate of Fatima, Lucia sensed that she was at peace, because here's now John Hafford with the organization who will propagate the message of Our Lady of Fatima, who has now the Pilgrim Virgin. Actually, there were two Pilgrim Virgin at the time. They call it the Pilgrim Virgin. It's like a twin, the Pilgrim Virgin, but there were two, one going eastward, one going westward. The one that we have now is the Western statue. The other statue traveled since 47 also until the late 80s or early 90s, when it has been returned to the shrine in Fatima, Portugal. So the Western statue, the one that we have here in your parish, has the history of nonstop travels all those years.
Wow.
She went forth in her pilgrim image as if to claim her domain.
Yes.
And the wonders she performs along the way are such that we can hardly believe what our eyes are witnessing.
You mentioned earlier in the show that you witnessed some people in the game, and, you know, their eyes got bigger, and it's like, oh, we got to join this. I have a similar story in Chicago. Please. In 2017. We were processing from St. John Cantius, going to the park, and I know this, you know, sometimes the priest would not break the seal of confession, but they will tell us the story. And the story was This priest came to me the day after the procession. Mm-hmm. He said, I got to tell you something, Patrick, you might be interested in hearing. He said, and it's about this young man who was ready to drink his life away last night. He said he was in a bar and then he saw the police lights and the sirens and Chicago. He said, here we go again.
Yes.
You know, but he was ready to commit suicide. And he looked back and he said, oh, this is a different kind of event. It's not a violent
protest or anything.
So he looked over his, you know, in the back. You know, you can imagine he's at the bar and he looked at what's going on behind him and he saw the statue on the shoulders. You know, we have those videos and everything.
Yes, it's beautiful.
And he said, that's different. And he walked out of the bar, felt the presence of Our Lady, felt peace in his life. And he said, walk away from the bar, went to confession the next morning. And to me, if you're asking for any kind of miracle, you know, you could ask for, you know, maybe you can grow an arm and a leg, yes, and physically, you know, you get healed. But this is a life that transforms eternity, you know.
Yes.
Who could predict, you know? He's ready to drink his life away. He is ready to end his life. God has given him, and going to confession and saying sorry for what he has done and earning a place in heaven. Who knows? You know, he could still be. But that kind of grace you could receive from Our Lady at that particular moment when we are processing. And that's just one story.
Yes.
We know, we are certain, there's a lot of things happening and graces are flowing through the hands.
We probably hear less than 1%.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, my son was serving the Mass yesterday and he said, wow, I could really have a sense of Mary's presence there. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, so I'm sure that if we're all just feeling her presence, there are souls that are, you know, ripe. And, you know, we've been spiritual for many years, mm-hmm, so we've gone through the ups and downs. Yes. But when people are low and they feel that spiritual presence, wow, I can't imagine.
Right.
I bet you guys have heard so many stories.
Yeah. And that's the power of the whole message of Fatima, is that I think it recalls a lot of people, especially, you know, young people, they're bombarded by, you know, science says or something.
Yes.
You know, so we're told that, you know, our Catholic faith is something that's, you know, medieval and, you know, a relic from the past. What Fatima does is it says that all of it is relevant and it's very, you know, effective, and it can bring down communism and it can heal your families and, you know, And so she's just recalling us back to the foundation of the faith.
Yeah, this is really, really important. I mean, you see now the significance of it. You know, sometimes, oh yeah, you can't practice the faith in these times of you know, pandemic, but the more we need it, and the more you look at it, the more Fatima becomes more and more relevant. As he says, St. John Paul II said, you know, it's more urgent in our time than it was in 1917. Because you look at history, the unfolding events, it's just, there you go, it's Our Lady there. She laid out the peace, like I said, the peace plan from heaven.
Yes.
And we keep on looking for solutions, you know. Oh, okay, here's what we need to do. And these are all guesses, you know.
Yeah.
These are all, you know, we're not certain.
Yes.
We keep looking for solutions for our problems, you know, for whatever it is that life throws at us, and we never look at Fatima. So if we look at Fatima, folks, this is the solution for our times. You know, what she asked at Fatima, and that's her words. She's going to keep it. She's not going to lie to us.
So three more quick questions before we go. Very important. I was recently hearing about how Our Lady is the Ark of the New Covenant. And whenever in the Old Testament they would lead with the Ark, then they would win victories in battles. So what you talked a little bit before we went on procession about we were claiming territory for Our Lady. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the importance of doing a procession? Even if they can't get you to come, why is it important to take Our Lady to the streets? Our dear friend Claire bought a big statue of Fatima. She's walking up and down the streets. People are honking. They're thanking us. Talk to us a little bit about the importance of processions.
Great. You know, processions, even in the liturgy of the church, probably primarily, you know, I can say this because it reminds us of our journey here on earth, you know, leading us back to Jesus. We're pilgrims. All of us are pilgrims. This is not this is just a temporary settlement for us. Our permanent home is right there in heaven. But the procession, you know, we are in the spiritual battle. We are in this field, you know, to fight. We are not here on a cruise ship. Like, we have all our drinks and our, you know, recreation in this. We are on a battleship, you know, to fight the evil one. We are here on a fight. And Our Lady is our queen who will crush the head of the ancient serpent. We have family. We got to bring them together. You know, we have all the right to honor and obey God, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. But if we, even on public squares, we have to proclaim, we have to show them this is what it's going to be. Otherwise, we will cave in for fear and, you know, not knowing what to do. But Our Lady is leading us. And, you know, I should probably, normally when I say something like that, I would quote the Canticle of Zechariah, you know, in times of darkness and every day, you know, God continues to shine. God brings us the light of the world in times of great darkness. And, you know, this is a time that we need the light of God.
Excellent. Now, I saw this card that says, say yes to Our Lady. So if the people want to answer the message of Fatima, what are a couple of things that they can do to say yes to Our Lady?
They can go to bluearmy.com.
Yes.
They can find all the information there. That's the Word Apostolate of Fatima's website. Say Yes to Our Lady has been our theme during the centennial year, because the children of Fatima said yes to God, said yes to Our Lady. And the story did not end there. We need to continue on. We need to become part of the story. If we could only say yes to Our Lady, that we will pray the rosary, we will help her save souls by sanctifying our daily duties, by wearing the bronze scapular as a sign of our consecration, and again, practicing the first five Saturday devotions. You know, so go to bluearmy.com and sign the form there. Join Our Lady's Blue Army, because it's very important that we become part of this battle.
And finally, how can they get you to come to their parish or bring Our Lady's traveling Fatima statue to their parish?
Go to the Blue Army or email me, peaceabat@bluearmy.com.
Awesome. So I want to thank both of you gentlemen, not only for being on the program, but for truly carrying forth Mary's message. If it's not for you guys and her children that she chooses, and she chooses ordinary people to answer the call to bring the message of Fatima to the world, I know it's a big, big sacrifice. Anytime Our Lady loves to make her children sacrifice, but that's because it makes us more like her son, Jesus Christ. He sacrificed for the good of souls. So thank you very much for your yes. Let's conclude by praying a Hail Mary. Will you two gentlemen lead us in the Hail Mary?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And thank you for listening to this podcast. Give us a like, give us a thumbs up, leave us comments, go over to Apple Podcasts, show them that you love Mary, even if you don't love us. If you don't like the program, show us by hitting that thumbs down button twice. That'll really show me. God bless you, God love you, and we'll see you soon.